Yeah.
All right, thanks. Web application security, I'm here to talk about. Well, first, about me, I've been working web application security for about 3 years. Some of the things I've seen, how to get into different systems on a purely web application level, not the web server, more like the CGIs on top of it. So just briefly go over what a web application is. Web applications, basically a CGI. They're message boards, web mail, guest books, auctions, online banking, stock quotes. The biggest companies run these things. They're everywhere. You see them. You do. If you go on the web and do just about anything, chances are you're working on a web application. So what, as you know, security folks, do we see? And you know, how to break them down, how to circumvent the security in them. So that's what I'll be covering. So the scope of the topic I'm going to try to keep to on the client side of the connection. Web application security does deal with the actual exploitation of the system. However, RFP or many other people cover it a lot better than I do. So this is sticking to basic client level, attacking the browsers, attacking the cookies, and things of that nature. However, if you guys have like system things you want to ask, feel free. Also, if you guys have any questions, anytime, go for it. So who uses web applications? eBay, Yahoo, Microsoft Hotmail, E-Trade, anybody got some more? All right. What was that? Right, that's a web application too, like say like Linksys routers and stuff like that. That would be a web application. Right, these like distance learning and things like that? Right. Or like All Advantage or something, or? Not sure exactly I follow, but if you have questions on it, sorry. porno sites, okay. let's see. From a security standpoint, when you're auditing a system or I'm attacking a system, generally there's three main types when I'm trying to profile a system as far as learning about it and what I'm seeing. There's the CGIs or the web applications that allow the user to input HTML and get an echo of HTML back, where it means it might be filtered, but it still comes back as HTML. It's actually allowable, seen in chat rooms and message boards and things of that nature, where it stays HTML. The other ones are the ones that do not allow HTML at all, the ones that strip it out blatantly for whatever reason. You know, we'll figure out why later. And the other ones are systems that use their own subset of HTML. I won't cover this too much, but you'll come across like chat rooms and message boards and stuff like that where you want to change the formatting of the web application. You have to use their own subset of tags. And there's also the ones I'll briefly cover on the ones that use Java-based engines to run it. The chat rooms, like, you know, Java-based client that connects to IRC or something like that. There's a lot of them out there, but I won't cover those too much because they're kind of their own embedded app. So when you have a CGI, what kind of things are you exposed to by putting it up on the web where everyone can look at it? There's system exploits on the system itself. There's browser redirects for the user. If you can find implement a CGI bug, you could throw an entire site to another site, say a porno site. That'd be kind of fun. There's page spoofing, where we've seen instances of a bug being exploited in a system where the user gets a fake login page and then unwittingly give up their username and password. There's also theft of their cookie file on that domain, which could give up their authentication for that particular session. And there's also things you can get user information, and you can also track the user, even though it's not really your site. So we can cover. Anybody have a question so far? Well, I'm sorry. What was the question? No, I'm just notes for myself. okay, well, first we'll cover the systems that allow HTML. Let's see here. Let's go over basic cookie security, because a lot of sites, they use cookies for simple authentication and re-authentication as they move through the sites. Also, like for shopping carts and things like that, where the cookie actually keeps track of the actual session. Basic cookie security is a particular website should not have access to any cookies, or only should have access to cookies for its particular domain. It shouldn't get access to cookies from another domain. However, nice people at Microsoft with that latest IE bug kind of destroyed that one. But basically, that's the security implementation. Let's see. So let's say you found what is JavaScript now? What does JavaScript have access to? JavaScript, when you're implementing it to the system, into like a chat room or a message board or something like that, what does it actually have access to? Well, it has access to all the browser information, has access to the IPs of the user, all the plugins and the paths to the plugins, just about everything that they're using. It also has access to the cookie files and their environmental variables. The important one that it has access is to the domain that JavaScript is executing on. It has access to the cookies on that domain. Now, the trick would be for a supposed hacker or malicious user is to try to get the user's cookies off the domain into another domain. Okay, so I'll show you how that's accomplished. How that is accomplished is if a user was to put HTML and JavaScript into a message board, and you were to go read that message, the JavaScript would execute in your browser environment. Okay, it would be able to grab the domain cookie string and append it to some HTML mechanism that would send a GET request off the domain to somewhere else. For instance, you could change the source of an image on that page and append it to the end. So a GET request would go to another server off the domain, and you'd get the actual cookie string. Hope that's like clear. Okay. Anybody have any questions on that so I know what I didn't get clear? Yes. I guess the flaw would lie in JavaScript. Okay, if you're able to put JavaScript into a system and users would read it, okay, if a user would read it, the code would grab the string and say, make it real simple, open a new window with the attacker's domain and append it to with a CGI and append the cookie data to the CGI variable. So it would do a GET request with the cookie value off of the CGI. So basically, the whole cookie value gets passed to the CGI off the domain. It's for authentication. That seems to be one of the more widespread ones. If you're able to get the user's cookies, you can replace your cookie with theirs and in essence become them. So, you know, if an active E-Trade user was running, grab their cookie file, replace it with yours, and guess what? You get to trade stocks in their account. So now, in a lot of systems, they'll have, HTML JavaScript filters to try to clean up the problem, but still have to allow, for whatever formatting reason, to keep HTML and JavaScript in the HTML itself for their users' features. So I'll talk about some of the ways to get around it or how you test it. The basic tags you do as when you're running off CGI, what you don't want to allow into your system to be able for the user to pass into the message board are the following tags. You don't want to have the P tag go in, and I'll explain these why later. You don't have the applet tag come in, the embed, script, layer, frame set, frame, HTML, body, style, meta, or object. There's a lot of them you have to filter. If you allow the applet tag into the system, into a system that allows HTML, they can load whatever Java applet you want and do whatever to them on somebody else's domain. You know, imagine if somebody, Microsoft Hotmail, you email somebody a message with an applet and it loads, and then you have access to everything on their domain with a Java applet. The same thing goes for the style tag, embed, anything of that nature. So those tags you actually have to strip out even though you're allowed HTML. Nothing good can happen when you're using those tags. So the script tag, the p tag, there's a known exploit that's been posted to BugTrack. I think Georgi Ganinsky found it, where you can actually add a VB expression that actually execute JavaScript without actually having any JavaScript looking things in it, so nobody knows really to filter for it. You'll find it on BugTrack and things like that, which brings right into the things that you can check in your own CGIs or other people's CGIs. Okay. I'm sorry. The question was, do I think that more security should be in place for, say, forms of values being passed to the CGR to the web server? As far as should it show you what you're actually sending them? I think yes, but no one's seen it so far. Basically, I guess the idea of the web is try to make it user friendly. But yeah, I think so. I'd like to be able to know immediately what cookie data I'm sending without actually having to look in the cookie file. That'd be my preference. So when you're testing a system, if you're actually auditing your own systems or somebody else's systems, what can you actually test against? What actually are the exploits to get past the, the string filters and things like that? One very simple one is the script tag. If anybody's, everybody should be familiar with HTML and JavaScript. The actual script tag, when you put an expression in there, you submit it to the system. You can even try it like a lot of search engines, will allow you to put right into their search function, put a script tag in, and it brings back a script tag and it executes. Major no-no to have on your major site. Another way to, what major sites do is they filter for the script tag itself, they'll strip it out, replace it with whatever, they'll strip it out completely or replace it with something, which is a good tactic and you should all use. Another way to get around that would be to, when you're submitting this to the search engine itself, a string, instead of just one singular line, throw a carriage return in it, because it's actually a character, and it'll actually, a lot of times, they won't escape the carriage return, so it'll actually beat the filters and still get by and echo back. Let's see. Let me show you. Okay, so the script tag way up there, that's the most basic one. Try that into a lot of places, and that will work. So basically what you can do is, if you know somebody's active on a session, say, like anywhere, like on Hotmail or something like that, and you email them, I'm not saying it works in Hotmail, but you email them an HTML mail with the script tag in it, and it executes, you have access to everything that Hotmail actually has access to. The second one from the top is I call image sourcing. Basically what the idea is, the JavaScript colon and then the JavaScript expression will actually execute inside of Netscape and run. It doesn't actually look like JavaScript, but it actually works. So sites will have to look for the JavaScript keyword and like separate it somehow or do whatever they want to do so it doesn't execute anything other than what it originally looks like before it gets echoed back to the user. It has to be done. And the ones below it were actually Netscape's code names for JavaScript while they're developing it. Mocha and LiveScript in replace of JavaScript will also work, which is quite nice of Netscape not to tell us about. So basically those, in all systems that allow HTML, have to strip those out before they get echoed back to the user, otherwise, you know, the security breakdown again. The singular line break below that is what I was talking about before. That will still execute in a Netscape and beat a lot of filters. The multi-line break, so, you know, trying these against systems, they'll get smart and wise up and start escaping the carriage returns. Well, you can multi-carriage return it and it still works. So you get to escape the whole thing. So you begin to start to see the thing where HTML and JavaScript start not to look like HTML and JavaScript. It looks visually broken, but it still works. So you still have to, you know, clean it up before it gets echoed back to the user. The one just below it, HTML entity string break. There's one that's like an HTML entity of just like a weird character you want to display. I'm sorry, you have a question? I haven't seen any commercially available ones. Most companies that I deal with have been writing their own for their own developers, which means that they want to strip like things like this out. They'll write their own libraries and have all user input variables filter through them, and then they can use them, or they just blatantly rip out every instance of HTML. I haven't seen any commercial products that do this, so everybody's kind of on their own until someone figures one out. The HTML entity string. The ampersand pound sign 09 semicolon is just a, I think that's like a tab or something in ASCII, and the whole ASCII set is available in Netscape, so you can make all the weird characters show up. But I found that that particular string, 9 through 12, actually breaks it up and will still execute. So it'll bypass the implemented filters once again. So things like that will work. So basically what happens is when you throw that into the system and, you know, you use source on it, that will actually not look like that, but it'll be separated but still work. Right, that's the most effective way I've seen so far on a system that does not want to allow HTML into the system. You rip out the less than and greater than signs and also the quotes. And you lose all HTML functionality, yet you get all your security back.
But still, if the application allows you to insert an image,
you
still be able to use the JavaScript?
Yes, you will. So, you know, most chat rooms, message boards allow that. Yeah. the one just below it. HTML entity. I've yet to figure out why this works, but I found it one day and it works. The ampersand, I guess, open curly brace, and the syntax has to be perfect for it to work, and it only works in Netscape. The ampersand curly brace open has to be filtered for, otherwise JavaScript will execute any expression that you throw in there. So might be a good one to remember because it's posted out there, but it's hard to find. Oh, sure. She asked me to repeat the question before I answer. Sorry. Okay, when I'm auditing a system, what I'm generally looking for is I'm looking at the URL, I'm looking at all the source code in the web page, looking at all the form values, looking at all the link URL values, anything that has a CGI and all the variables to it, and seeing what values it's taking, if it's taking any. And, you know, like shopping carts are notorious for this. When you're buying an item, it'll have price equals. And then you submit. Right? So what stops me from, you know, I'll buy like my, you know, like Sony Vaio here from, you know, $3,000, I'll just make it $5. many sites put this in there and trust the value that I give it, and I bought a laptop for $5. So I didn't get that question. take the fifth. also, all the strings. A lot of times developers will put strings inside of URL variables and stuff that you actually get thrown up on the page, for instance, like ads and things like that. So a lot of times they don't filter those, so you might want to play with the strings also and see what actual variables are getting filtered and what aren't. You know, you can change it to anything. Change it to JavaScript, HTML, put a negative 999 in there and crash the CGI. Many, many things. Also, what I had to mention is many CGIs, when they're doing authentication for the users that aren't using cookies, they'll use a login equals. And like for portfolios and things like that. So if you actually just change the login to a different username, you'll get their portfolio. Don't do this. People are looking. Now, basically, you've seen a lot of the exploits. There are more, but as of yet, no one's put out a good security auditor yet. I've heard rumor of them, but haven't seen any of that good. So how to protect and defend. Do not trust any of the input that the user is going to give you from the website. I don't care if it's the browser information, their username and password, anything. Do not trust anything that they're giving you. Check everything, strip everything. Okay, because people are doing this with a lot of free time and testing every single value they could put into every variable and just seeing what your CGI does. So you have to account for everything. One rule of thumb when you're developing a CGI, never, ever, ever allow JavaScript, Java, or any plugins that your site didn't create onto your system. So that means is if your users are able to put JavaScript, Java, or a plugin on your system, you got to disallow it because do very bad things. For instance, like Flash has JavaScript in it as far as like a sub-language with Lingo, and they have full JavaScript functionality from inside of Flash. So you might think, you know, okay, I got everything. You know, everything all blocked and you're allowing them to use Flash, and all of a sudden your whole entire user base shifted to somewhere else. Also, if you're really security paranoid and you're running business.com and you have to allow some of these things to go through and you're really paranoid that you're not going to get everything right, like say for your message board, your chat room, you want to keep pretty good security for the cookies themselves, host it on a different top-level domain. Host it like, instead of like business.com, go through business.net. That's the way all your .com cookies are held safe for the moment until you move them back over to business.com. It's a method I've seen work pretty effective in the past. Somebody asked the question how to defend. If you're in a work group type environment, create libraries to do HTML stripping that all your developers can use and funnel all the user input variables through and get them back out so they know all the variables are safe to use, both in the user's environment and out of the user's environment. And also, one more authentication scheme that I've seen a lot of people use is when you're doing cookie-based authentication and you're doing a session ID with, you're hashing the username and password with a random variable or something, you can actually rehash another variable, let's say like on a form submittal. You put a hidden variable inside the form that you're submitting to the CGI with a hash of their cookie, okay? That means no one else is going to be able to submit the form off of your site. I don't know if that's quite clear. It's kind of like tagging the web page of, you know, sorts. I'll use Hotmail, for instance. Let's say they're doing a session-based ID, session-based authentication. And you don't want people logging into Hotmail from places other than Hotmail. So what you would theoretically do is run a hash on their cookie that's in their system and tag it as a hidden variable inside your login page. That way if you move it to somewhere else and try to submit again with different values, it will fail because the hash won't match. The hash has to be server generated, otherwise it defeats the purpose. Sure. Right. Yeah, the question was, you'll pass different or multiple variables off pages as you go through, so it's important to check every single variable as you're going through the site, so basically you have to crawl the whole site and be thorough. Any other questions? Oh. the question was what I feel that this is a problem of, I guess, lazy developers not looking, doing correct string matches or not being very security conscious in general. Basically, I would say yes and no. One, I would say yes, they're lazy programmers. They're not looking at BugTrack or the other sources for the known exploits. Two, no, they aren't because they don't know them all. So they can't filter for something that they didn't know existed. Yes, it does. That's why HTML email pretty much exists. I'm sorry. He asked, does HTML mail execute JavaScript? Yeah, it can. That's, you know, you'll see in the news all those Hotmail exploits and stuff like that. That's that. those I haven't played with firsthand, but problems with those probably could and do exist. So. Any other questions? I know of like a couple, but I wouldn't classify them as good yet. They're looking for, basically the tools that I've seen are looking on a, they're auditing commercially available applications. Most bigger systems where these are going to be needed the most are not something that you can write an immediate big software package for because they're proprietary and you have to do it manually now unless somebody comes up with something pretty good, and I haven't seen that yet. Basically, his question was about how to defeating the hashing. I guess it wasn't quite clear on that. You hash a variable, like something random on the page and also part of their session with only a hash that you possess. You have to keep your hash kind of, you know, private and do it that way. Not, you have to use something on the server side that only the user has and the site has. So it has to be done well. I probably not explain it well as like applied cryptography would, but you can hash the page and have it work well. Well, that's the idea. That's the idea of hashing. You can't go backwards. At least I can't. any other question? Go ahead. If you turn off this question was, if you turn off JavaScript and Java, will the image sourcing one work? No, it won't. All JavaScript is pretty much turned off, but that makes for a pretty lousy web environment. Everything breaks on the web, as those who run it have seen. Any other questions? I guess that's it. Thank you. Oh, okay. Good. How I feel about crypting the browser session and or the data being passed, right? I would say I would like it all encrypted. However, I guess the RSA licensing gets pretty expensive from time to time. I mean, you have to get a license for every single server, so it gets pretty expensive. That's why they only do it on, you know, purchases and stuff like that. But I would like to see all of it, but we don't have it yet. It's not, no. Basically, he's talking about client-side. Client-side signing is he could claim to be whoever he wants, and there's no checking on the client-side end. So, yeah, you're right. I didn't get to ask Jennifer Granick one question. I don't know if she's here or not, but basically, I wonder if, you know, viewing the source of a web page would fall under unauthorized access of the source code of an interpreted page. fall under reverse engineer the DMCA. Would viewing the source code of a web page fall under that? don't know, maybe. Unless there's any other question, I guess that. Oh, I'm sorry, go. Okay. Well, let's say I guess some people want to direct traffic away from your site to somewhere else, and they post something on your site. That means all your visitors that go to your site get forwarded to somewhere else. That may be one other thing. If they can't put, well, if you're the only one posting the information on your site, then you're pretty much clean. That means everything that you do is your fault. So, anyway.
Yeah. Is there a way to hide or to sort of disguise the URL of the page that you're visiting in the location bar, other than by using sort of parent frame that's
The parent frame visible. He's asking a way to hide the URL if I know any ways. I haven't seen any really good ways to do it. I say the parent frame technique works quite well. I haven't seen any other really good ways. I have seen begin to load a page and then stop the load, and then he kind of gives a URL that way. But I haven't seen any really good ways. That's kind of weak. The question was, you can actually, I forgot to mention that one. It's a pretty good one. A lot of browsers and search engines will take not only ASCII as a domain name, but you can actually, or like IP addresses, you can actually re-encode them in URL encode and get those to work, or you can get hex to work. I've seen octal work and everything like that. So those are actually good filter passing mechanisms. Using hidden iframes. Yeah, hidden iframes. You can use hidden layers and do it that way. Lots of ways. So again, don't allow people inputting layers on your page. Bad news. Anyways, the p tag. I don't have like the perfect syntax memorized to type it out for you. However. In VBScript, there's a left colon expression. You can search for that under the P tag. I think Georgi Ganinsky on his site has it posted, but it's a VBScript expression that will execute. Also, style has one similar like that. On a style tag, you have type equals, and you can put JavaScript and stuff in between it, in between the beginning and style tags. And once again, JavaScript into the system. JavaScript's pretty much a cockroach. You have to exterminate it. I'm sorry, I missed that. I really don't know XML all that well, but from what I read from the specs, it seems it's like, for instance, the ones that look broken to the visually don't work under XML because it's very specific, meaning the programming is not forgiving when you make a mistake. So, any other question? What time do we got? Quarter to. Sound lovely. That's all I got, so.